Hello and welcome to Ascend in Action, the podcast that celebrates the future of women in staffing and consulting, brought to you by Amoria Group. In this podcast, we'll be talking and tackling some of the key topics when it comes to women in staffing and consulting, from why we need more women and what we bring to the industry, to our role in tackling gender bias and empowering and supporting each other. Presented by the Progressing Lives Everywhere podcast, these conversations are designed to inspire, engage, and show how together we can fulfill our potential and progress our lives.
Welcome to the Ascend in Action podcast series, part of the Progressing Lives Everywhere podcast brought to you by Amoria Bond. I'm Lisa Harding, Learning and Development Consultant based in Amoria Bond's Manchester office. In this second episode of the series, I'm talking to Lisa Garner, Learning and Development Consultant, about overcoming and embracing imposter syndrome. So, Lisa, do you want to kick us off by telling us a little bit about you, your background, and the work that you do with Amoria Bond?
Yes, so I'm Lisa Garner, and I work as an L&D consultant with Amoria Bond and other organisations. I've specialised, I've been head of talent and head of L&D for many years in the recruitment industry, specialising in leadership and sales and recruitment, and also wellbeing, and lots of work on mindset over the years as well.
So Lisa, a lot of people will have heard of imposter syndrome, but for anyone who hasn't, what is imposter syndrome and where do you think it stems from?
So imposter syndrome is the best way of describing it. It's like a feeling of being a fake in your own life. So it doesn't matter how successful you are, how qualified, how much experience, how well educated, regardless of any evidence in life that you are successful, you do not believe it with imposter syndrome. So, and obviously success is subjective anyway, isn't it? But it's a feeling that I am a fake, I'm a phony, I'm going to be exposed, like they're going to find me out. And almost like some of it is, everything's a fluke, I'm only where I am because of luck and not on merit. And this underlying feeling that you just don't really deserve to be where you are and you're not good enough is how I would describe it. It was first coined by Pauline Clance and Suzanne Imes in 1978. They wrote a book, The Imposter Syndrome and High Achieving Women, because there was a recognition that actually high achieving women, it was almost like this condition, this syndrome, like a disease of those who were high achieving, who were females in particular, that felt like imposters. So it stemmed from there. I know you mentioned, where does it come from? There's lots of different ways that we can end up with imposter syndrome. But a lot of it is through upbringing, the messages that we're being taught from being very young, like you're literally a sponge from 0 to 7. So any messages that maybe have a negative impact on you, you've already owned them. You go into the education system, there's lots of studies that show, like, particularly girls, like young girls in school, are more likely to put their hand up and shout out answers and academically do really well because they're vocal, and then something happens in secondary school and they just stop putting the hand up, speaking out. So imposter syndrome can be family, education, and the workplace has a huge part to play in this, because actually a lot of people develop imposter syndrome at the age of 23 randomly. I've been looking at some research in like the age of 23, which is a very sort of, I've just entered the workplace. So education, family, and the workplace and society in general has a lot of a part to play in it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really glad that I'm actually getting to take part in this podcast, because imposter syndrome is definitely something that I've experienced throughout my career. You know, I started my early career working in the travel industry. I actually worked in the travel industry for 18 years, and I was always one of the top sellers, and not just in my store, but in the region. I actually cringe in saying it, which says it all, really. I always just put it down to, it's just luck. It just so happens, you know, I might get a family coming and sit in front of me in the book holiday. You know, it's just luck. Just look at the draw of who sat in front of me. And then I left the travel industry and started my career in recruitment. And I worked in recruitment for 6 years. Wasn't really something that I, you know, wanted to get into or had ever thought about it. I think, you know, like a lot of people that start off their career in recruitment, they fell into it. Although I am noticing with a lot of the trainees that we get coming through our doors that people are now choosing it as a career, but I fell into it. And again, you know, rocky couple of months, but then I just, you know, excelled. And then I ended up being top biller for 4 consecutive years. And again, I just put it down to luck. You know, I worked on a busy area. So it was just like, it was nothing that I was doing. It was just the area that I was on. And then fast forward, you know, I leave my my role as a biller in recruitment and joined Amoria Bond. And the reason I joined Amoria Bond was because I knew somebody that worked there. She introduced me to the company, told me all about this, you know, amazing opportunity. And then I got the job, and I remember sitting back thinking, wow, gosh, I can't believe I got the job. And then all of a sudden that voice in my head again was like, you've only got the job because you know somebody. So I've always, you know, when I look back at my career, I've never put it down to I've been successful because of my own work that I've put into it, my hard work. It's always been just luck, and somebody's going to find out that I'm a fraud and I'm a fake and a phony. So all those things that you've just mentioned there.
Yeah, I'm really glad that you've mentioned that, because it just makes it more real, you know, to hear like someone's actual lived experience. But when you said fall into recruitment, like Generation X always say that. So whenever you ask someone Gen X, like how they got into recruitment, they're like, I fell into recruitment. It was like an accident. But it's not an accident, because like you've been chosen because of like some pretty amazing skills that have been seen in you. Like there's some great behaviours, interpersonal skills, that warmth, that great sales personality. So that's a classic. And then the feeling of like, I only have been successful because of, and like almost making excuses for, like against why you're successful. And obviously we know each other quite well, and I've seen you do that, and then being like blown away by like how amazing you are, because it's almost like you have an enemy undermining you, and that is you, and that is classic imposter syndrome. But it's great because obviously You've done a lot of work since you've been at Amoria Bond in that area, and that's where Amoria Bond are all over it when it comes to mindset work. Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. I think, you know, I've done some work with you around mindset. You've done work with the business. We now do it as part of our onboarding process, as part of our 90-day plan. So we talk about mindset and confidence, and imposter syndrome is a topic that we cover. So, you know, having that awareness around it is great. And that's actually really helped me. I think over the last 2 years working at Amoria Bond, you know, and having more awareness around it, it's made me actually start to understand what's going on in my brain. And actually I'm now starting to finally, you know, I can say to myself, no, I've got where I am through hard work and determination. I know you did talk about it when we, you know, asked where imposter syndrome came from or where it stems from. You did touch upon that, you know, a lot of women are affected by it. And I know myself through talking to other women in the business, friends of mine as well, and speaking to, you know, people at, you know, director level, people that you wouldn't think have imposter syndrome, you know, they've all shocked me. And, you know, they've said themselves that is something that they struggled with. Why do you think it affects so women? And actually, do you think it just affects women, or do you think it affects men as well?
Definitely doesn't only affect women. So the stats are 54% of women who are surveyed and questionnaired have admitted to having it, and 38% of men. So actually it's not that low with men. It's still quite a worrying statistic, that so there is an impact there. But yes, in general, it is much more, women are much more likely to be affected by it. And the stats are there, and the proof is there, and the evidence with, I've looked at various different research and questionnaires that have been done around it. And the figures are always very similar, like 40-60, 54-38, wherever it's been done, in whichever country. And obviously there's quite a few reasons why that can be. But when you research and look into it, obviously, like equity, diversity and inclusion, when we look at all these things, if you have a protected characteristic, you are more likely to suffer from imposter syndrome. And so obviously women, that's why it's so huge with women. If you're non-binary, if you're LGBTQ+, if you're a woman of colour, the facts go on and on. If you add in the protected characteristics, then you're more likely. And it goes up quite significantly for people who have another protected characteristic, as well as being female, to more like 60%. So it gets like worryingly high. And obviously you need role models. You need people who are like you to be in positions of power. You need to have mentors, people around you that are success stories. You don't want to be in a room where you feel different, because that does have an impact on imposter syndrome. So I think DE&I initiatives are helping with just the recognition of these facts, and we're more likely to be able to do something about it because of that.
Yeah. Do you think there's an element that plays into it as well, that just women are more vocal, they're more honest about how they're feeling, they speak to other women about it, whereas men maybe are maybe not so forthcoming, they don't want to be seen as vulnerable, they don't really talk to each other about that type of thing. So do you think that the statistics are high as well because women are just being more honest about it and they're talking about it? Because like I said, from my experience, when I'm working with not just the trainees that are coming through the business, but we know when I've spoken to my manager, like directors, you know, more senior people in the business, they have also experienced it, and you know, we're quite open and we'll have those conversations. Whereas do you think that men would do that?
Yeah, and again, like that is it's a result, isn't it, of upbringing. So, you know, obviously there's a lot of work being done around men's mental health and how they are notoriously brought up to push things down and like not be honest and not be vulnerable, and this messaging has to change for men, because it's not helpful to their well-being if they're like holding things and pushing things down. So yeah, I do think women are much more likely to admit imposter syndrome, but there's something very attractive about leaders who tell you they've got imposter syndrome, that they tell you they've got vulnerabilities, that they say that they've been like crushed with this feeling of a lack of confidence in a certain area. For me, it's such a massive strength. When we talk about embracing imposter syndrome, I've had a couple of really influential, inspiring leaders over the years, and men and women. And I can think of an example of a man and a woman who both admitted to me feelings of imposter syndrome, and just really admitting the areas where like they have crushing like self-doubt. And, you know, just thinking, yeah, that makes you a great leader, actually, because like it's so human, isn't it?
Yeah, of course. And it's like, it's almost like that sanity check for yourself. Like, you know, a lot of people feel the way that you do. And I think, you know, we've had conversations leading up to this. We've had conversations when we've just been working together and just generally catching up, which leads me on to my next question, really. Like, what can we do to overcome it? And why shouldn't imposter syndrome be seen as a bad thing? And actually, how can we channel that into a bit of a superpower, really? Because I guess, you know, when we've discussed like imposter syndrome, you know, it goes back to that you are pushing outside your comfort zone, you're growing. So naturally, when you start to grow, you are going to feel uncomfortable because you're facing things that you've never done before. So yeah, I mean, what can we do to overcome imposter syndrome, embrace it, and turn it into a bit of a superpower?
Yeah, so obviously there's the book, isn't there, Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway. So like feelings of fear, feelings of like being out of your comfort zone, they say that your comfort zone, so this is your comfort zone, the best place to progress and to move on is to put yourself slightly out, not like dramatically outside so that like you literally feel like you could fall apart because it's too much, but like always make sure you're slightly outside your comfort zone. I've done that to work on imposter syndrome, because when I became a leader, I felt like I felt like I was too young, like people think, what does she know? I had all these feelings of imposter syndrome when I became a leader. And I've done loads of mindset work, as you know, I've done various qualifications in it, but I constantly try to push myself slightly out of the comfort zone all the time, because it's like muscle memory, and you start becoming used to being a little bit nervous and a little bit like a little bit scared, a little bit nervous. And then what happens is you turn that into excitement because they come from the same place in your brain. And do a little bit of practicing to just like challenge yourself to do things that make you feel a little bit uncomfortable if you've got imposter syndrome, because it's surprising how quickly you learn that new skill. I'd say get a mentor, and ideally someone who's had imposter syndrome, because like, as I say, there's nothing more impressive than someone who's done well telling you the story of how they never used to feel that way. So those stories are powerful. And I'd say as well, write a story about you and where you've come from and to today, the thing that you're most proud of. Like in recruitment, we're always asking that question to candidates, aren't we? What are you most proud of? What are you most proud of? What that you've achieved are you most proud of? And like write that story, and whenever you're feeling like an imposter, read that. So almost like, you know, when you do journaling, have it in like the book that you use for your journaling, and look at it, because it's like recognizing like actually what am I proud of, instead of constantly feeling like you're not good enough. A lot of it's perfectionism as well, so I'd say if you're a perfectionist, I feel for you, because like I'm actually not. Those who know me know I'm definitely not a perfectionist. But if you are a perfectionist, like it's really hard. I coach lots of perfectionists and they never, ever, ever feel like they're good enough, because they're trying to win a race that they're never going to win, because it is ultimately the goal is perfection. So if you are, list all the things that are your standards and then ask yourself, like, is this reasonable or am I being unreasonable with myself? And then change those standards as well.
Yeah. I think it's almost like you say, you know, talking to yourself like you talk to a friend, because the things that I have in the past, I'm getting better at it. And I think a lot of it is around the awareness, definitely the awareness piece. You know, we're very good at that at Moria Bond. We do a lot around, you know, mindset. We get a lot of like positive feedback, you know, MPRs, one-to-ones, an opportunity to get that, you know, that positive feedback loop. And I think that really helps with that self-doubt. You know, it's almost like you need to start talking to yourself like you talk to a friend. So, you know, some of the things that you say to yourself on occasion when you're, you know, feeling like an imposter, you wouldn't say that to a friend. So I think that's a good way to look at it as well.
Absolutely. Your self-talk is the story of your life. So it's like just imagining that you're an author and you're writing the story of your life. Now, it can go one of two ways. You can make your life really not very pleasant by just basically bullying yourself, which is what a lot of people do with imposter syndrome. They say to themselves, you're not good enough, that was stupid, I'm a fake, people are going to find me out. Write all those things down which you are saying to yourself, which are making your life feel quite unpleasant, and reframe it and think, what would you say if your friend was saying this about herself or himself? Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, and finally, right, so what do you see for the future when it comes to imposter syndrome? Like what are your hopes? What do you predict? What are the trends?
Obviously, I knew we were going to look at this as a topic. So I was like, okay, the trend is going to be DEI initiatives. As a result of that, you know, people are going to be more aware. So it's going to be getting better and better, like Gen X compared to Gen Z. They're going to be slowly improving. It's going to get better and better. And we're going to have a society of all these people who just feel amazing about themselves, is how I would like it to be. So I suppose that answers what part of the question. But actually, that is not the case. So having researched the topic and looked into it, unfortunately, the stats are going up for imposter syndrome. So when you look at those figures, that like if we were thinking about the 54% of women and 38% of men, that's recent surveys have showed that. If you go back in time and you look at, for example, Gen X, which is people youngest 44 up to 59-60, and then boomers are after that, they're actually like 45% for women and way less for men. So it actually has gone up a little bit. But you made a very good point right at the beginning of this about, is that because people are starting to understand what imposter syndrome is? People are starting to be more vocal about it. More initiatives are happening, so we have more of a recognition. For example, an Amori Bond, I think, stand out at things like this, because we've done imposter syndrome work. And as you say, it's written into onboarding. There's LMS on it. You know, it's not the norm. A moribund's not the norm. Like other workplaces have got like quite a long way to go. That's obviously not everyone. But I do think this recognition piece, because of those things, like people are more likely to, when they get surveyed, know what it is. Whereas maybe like the baby boomers will be like, I don't even know what that is. So no, I don't think I've got it. So maybe that's something to do with it. But you'd hope that the DE&I initiatives, like this recognition of imposter syndrome being a barrier to success, more inclusive workplaces should have a big impact on that, because people feeling like they belong and feeling that social connection and seeing other people succeed who may have the same protected characteristics as them, particularly like women, are now going to start to like progress and hopefully have things which are going to help, you know, like have an actual structure and a system to help them in the workplace so that that number can start to drop. But I think social media as well is a big part of imposter syndrome, because obviously, you know, all you have to do is scroll through Instagram and straight away, like you think, oh my God, I don't get up at 5 a.m. and have an amazing morning routine. I'm not drinking protein shakes. I'm not ripped. I haven't got like a snatch jaw. And all of these things, look how successful these people are, look how much they're putting into their lives, look at all these amazing destinations they're going to. So that can make people feel like a bit of an imposter, like social media. And obviously the younger generations, millennials and Gen Z, I'm Gen X, and we also have got this problem, but the younger generations have it even more, that social media is having an impact on like, am I enough, am I good enough?
Yeah, totally agree with that. And like you said, I think it definitely is all about that awareness, because, you know, if you think about, I was in the travel industry for 18 years, then in recruitment in sales for 6 years. So that's 24 years of my career, pretty much always like I felt like an imposter. And probably for the very first year of my position at Amoria Bond. But then, you know, learning more, you know, about imposter syndrome, actually recognizing it is a thing and that other people have it, has then made me have more awareness of me, my own triggers and things like that. So when I am starting to do something new, or I've had that next promotion, or I'm working towards my next promotion, when that little voice comes in my head, I know how to quiet it down and I know what's happening to me. And that is thanks to the work that, you know, that you've done and that the business has done around that. So I think that's why it was really important that when we get new people come through the business, that very early on, that we talk about these things and we can help them through it. So yeah, you'd like to see that in the future, that those numbers do fall. But like you said, if they're rising, it's just because there is more conversation around it. But yeah, really interesting topic to be discussing today, like I say, because it's something that I know a lot of my friends, a lot of my colleagues and myself has faced. I could talk to you forever about this, but actually that is all we've got time for today. And it's been really great having you on this podcast series and getting to talk to you about this. So one final thing from me, if you are looking for a career in recruitment or want to learn more about the industry, be sure to check out amoriabond.com. Thanks for joining us today, Lisa.
Thanks so much. I've really enjoyed it.
Thank you for listening to Ascend in Action, brought to you by Amoria Group. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to subscribe, like, and leave a review. Every time you do, it helps others to find the show. Amoria Group are committed to walking the talk, and through our recruitment brand, Amoria Bond, and consultancy, Coalesce Management Consulting, we work hard to create a positive and inclusive environment for everyone. For further details on Amoria Group and how we are progressing lives everywhere, head over to amoriagroup.com. See you next time.